2 Chronicles chapter 12. This is talking about what happened, verse 1, when the kingdom of Rehoboam was established, and he had made himself strong, and he forsook the law of Yahweh and all Israel with him. Well, God's very generous. He is generous, as it were, by nature. And I think that's pretty generous to imply that Rehoboam was, in fact, obedient to the law of Yahweh, but, well, then he forsook it. Verse 5, God sends Shishak, king of Egypt, against him and says, "You have forsaken me, therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak." Now, forsaken is, you know, the idea is you left me, implying that, in fact, he had been with God. And yet, we've read in 2 Chronicles 11 that his favourite wife, Maachah, was an idolater, and his mother was an Ammonitess, not an Israelite. His father was Solomon, who turned to idols. His wives turned away his heart to idols, so you can figure that, in fact, his mother, this Ammonitess, would presumably have also been an idolater. Solomon built temples for the gods of Ammon. And so all around Rehoboam, there was idolatry. And of course, he is very unwise with the people when they come to him, wanting him to slacken the abusive regime of Solomon. He says, "No, my father whipped you, but I'm going to whip you with scorpions." He's really quite abusive to them. And yet God treats him as if he was in fact with me. I think that was very generous. But then when the prophet Shemaiah comes and says, "Look, you have sinned, and therefore Shishak, king of Egypt, is going to come and destroy you," then, verse 6, the king and the princes of Israel humbled themselves. And God noticed this. And, well, God counts that as so important. Although the overall take on Rehoboam, verse 14, he did that which was evil because he didn't set his heart to seek Yahweh. He didn't set his heart to seek Yahweh, and I said that there's plenty of evidence that he was not really a strong believer. God was very generous in the way he tried to see good in him, as we should try to see good and not evil in those around us. And yet, he is saved from a terrible destruction by humbling himself. Now, Shishak is not totally turned away. He does come up to Jerusalem. And yet God says, verse 7, "My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak, because they have humbled themselves. I will not destroy them. I will grant them some deliverance." And yet, verse 8, "Nevertheless, they," that's the people of Judah, "shall be his servants," the servants of Shishak, "that they may know my service." So, I think what had happened is that, yeah, look, Rehoboam was pretty weak all the way through, and verse 14 summarizes him that he did what was evil because he didn't set his heart to seek Yahweh. And yet, because he showed some humility before God's word and the prophet Shemaiah, therefore what could have happened at the hand of Shishak didn't, even though by the end of his days Rehoboam was also not seen as a good man, but one who did evil. So I think the point of all this is that God is so, so impressed by human humility. It shows how humility, I would say, probably more than any characteristic, is sought for by God, even more than love, because love will come from humility. It's a natural thing. Whereas humility does mean that I recognize that I'm wrong and that God is right. And as I say, the whole thing here does not mean that Rehoboam was overall a good man, but one short period of humility saved him. And as I say, humility is so important. Now, humility is multidimensional, of course, that it does require recognition of sin. It also requires faith, because to actually believe that I, little me, that I really will be saved by God's grace, that requires humility. Not judging others requires humility. Forgiving in the same way that God forgives that is, without demanding repentance, rejoicing to overlook hurt and wrong done to you. This requires humility, accepting the working of God and the justice of God. Ultimately, when you do not see that, when you're struggling with injustice, etc., and what seems so absolutely unfair and wrong, to accept that ultimately God is right, this also requires humility. So all the way through, it is humility that is of the essence to God. And I think the events of this chapter show how highly God values it. Because, as I say, Rehoboam was overall, we're told, a man who set his heart to do evil and not good. And yet at this one point, when he shows humility, wow, he's saved from destruction. Now, he's told that, okay, you won't be destroyed, but you are going to have to be in some sort of bondage to Shishak so that you might learn what it is to be in service to me. And he accepts that. Whereas there's almost an identical situation generations later with Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, who is offered by God through Jeremiah that everything will be good for him if he submits to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, if he recognizes that he's sinned. And he doesn't. And this brings judgment and destruction upon all Jerusalem and Judah. He himself escapes just with the skin of his teeth. His eyes are put out. His sons are slain before his eyes, etc. When he could have avoided that by seeing that he could have acted as Rehoboam did. Time and again, the situations that arise in our lives are not without precedent. They have some sort of precedent, either in the Bible, in the essence of what we're going through is experienced by somebody in the Bible, or amongst believers or people even whom we know in our lives. And so that's how life works and how it is structured by God, so that we might learn, so that we might live lives that are reflective and thoughtful, and that we see the nudges that we're given and learn. As I say, the situation here is so similar to that with Zedekiah. Zedekiah fails. And he should have figured that, you know, Rehoboam wasn't a good guy spiritually, but this one act of humility and recognizing that, yes, we have done wrong, sure, it is the right thing that God should correct us by putting me into subservience to Shishak, king of Egypt. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll accept that. I go with that. Yeah, if only Zedekiah had done that to the king of Babylon, then things would have been so much better for him, and he'd have saved the destruction of a huge number of people, including his own sons. And so this is why there is a rhythm to life. It's why circumstances repeat, so that we might learn. And as I say, the simple takeaway from all this in this chapter is the value of humility and how deeply God wants it. And in a sense, you could say that humility, in the paradox of God's dealings with man, humility is perhaps the pinnacle, the acme of spirituality. That to be humble is actually what we should seek to be. Seek humility. That's the point.